Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I think that makes me tater tots.
Or potato.
Or a full bleeping tater. It's Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Check us out on ESPN Plus. I didn't even just realize I co-signed again another like weird backhanded. It's not even a backhanded compliment. It's just out and out slander. A potato.
No, you are not a potato.
I'm not. So what am I then? You just say not a potato to get away from that. Like I am not a potato.
You're probably a wedge too. You're a wedge.
I don't feel like we can both be wedges just because there's a bit of a difference in body type here. I might have to just accept the potato is where I live here right now. Maybe at the very least a sweet potato.
Well, at least, yeah, you're a sweet potato. There you go. At least I'm eating apples today, so that should make you feel better about, you know, the show.
The show. And you know what? I'm glad you brought up the show right now. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We've got some surprises in some divisions that might actually have a shot at winning. We're going to try and figure out after the Hail Mary that was last night what that looks like. We're going to get to some MVP caliber quarterbacks that are struggling. But Jhené has been over here ready. She has been campaigning all show for a concept I've never heard of in radio called halftime, where she is so deeply ingrained in the locker room still as a current WNBA player that she has been petitioning for halftime since tip-off on this show. Because, Jhené, you believe that if we're doing 3 hours of work, we deserve at least 15 minutes to ourselves?
If we are doing 3 hours of giving you energy, entertainment, education, all of the above from the world of sports, we deserve, at halftime, 15 minutes where you guys hear what we talk about in the breaks, which is wild.
I don't know if we want to give them that. Like, I don't know if that's a good idea for any of us.
Like, today's halftime would be about chitlins, which Mike Golic Jr. called chitterlings, which is technically how you're supposed to, like...
That's what it comes back when you search for it on Google.
Yeah, I'm surprised you've never tried it. But, we were having a conversation about that food, and also foods that you should or should not have, you know, during Thanksgiving, foods that, or even conversations that you should or should not have in Thanksgiving. Yeah. That would be halftime for today.
That, yeah, say today's halftime is already looking spicy right now, but I just want it on the record that every break we've had since we've started the show, Jhené has been looking forward towards halftime. Like, Jhené's like I was as a chubby little kid playing like Little League soccer to make friends, and all I want are the snacks and juice boxes at halftime and after the game. That's all I'm in this for.
We got to give the people what they want. Okay. And I swear it's those topics too. So 15 minutes out of 3 hours, we will give it to you maybe if the bosses co-sign.
Okay, say we're going to give the people what they want, meaning Jhené what she wants in this spot, which is a 15-minute halftime. So coming
happy
up.
Happy wife, happy life, okay?
That's a fair point. Be on the lookout for halftime coming up soon here on Jhené and Golic Jr. And Jhené, a break is what a lot of teams are looking like they might want right now in the NFL. We heard in the update there. Big news for the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees comes back, finds out multiple cracks in his ribs, dealing with a collapsed lung as well, as now it looks like he could be sidelined for a bit. He missed the second half of their game this weekend, and Jameis Winston stepped into that spot, Jhené, and it's worth pointing out again that for all the love that Taysom Hill gets in the normal course of that offense and how much Sean Payton claims to love him and the extension they signed him to, when Jameis Winston came over, this became the same situation we saw last year. A chance for Jameis now to maybe go out here for what could be a multiple game stretch, depending on the true severity of this injury, to go and land himself another starting job in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it looked good, but it's a small sample size. But I think we have a bigger conversation about how quarterbacks that we super were high on, especially with how the first game sort of transpired and how a lot of people were concerned about Drew Brees. And then now they're, you said earlier, their cavalry is back and a lot of things were trending in the right direction. And then bam, you're dealing with this. You look at the Ravens who are dealing with a loss to the Patriots. You look at, you know, Russell Wilson, who a couple weeks ago we were like, you know, let Russ cook. Like, this is the situation where he could finally get more than one MVP vote. And a lot of them are sort of now having to recalibrate as the league adjusts to them. So how do you see this sort of impacting these quarterbacks, Russ, and even Lamar now?
Well, yeah, it's interesting, Jhené, as the Seahawks go out and lose 23-16 to the Rams. So a division loss for them on the same weekend where we see the Cardinals get a big-time last-second win, the Hail Mary catch that we all marveled over in that game against Buffalo. And we're looking around going, all right, wait a minute, the Seahawks team that we thought we could rely on, the quarterback, the reason we all bet the Seahawks, despite them not having much of a defense, all of a sudden is going out here and throwing for 248 and two interceptions in this game. He had his worst QBR in a game versus zone coverage in his, or at least this season. He had a QBR of 36 versus zone coverage during the course of that game, and it just wasn't working for him. And Russ himself was candid in evaluating his performance after the game.
I think that the reality is I know who I am. You know, I know that I'm a great football player. You know, I know I've been great. I know I will be great. I know I'll continue to be great. I know that there are better days ahead. And so, you know, I think that, you know, I'll use a baseball analogy, but sometimes you go up to the plate, you know, and you don't have your way. So that's what it was today. And so, you know, I look forward to, you know, getting back after it and getting back to work and just finding my best again. And just I have no doubt that, you know, greatness is in store.
And of course, when I say candid, I mean he has an unlimited amount of cliches that he is just going to throw at the camera.
Oh, yeah, that's what happens. It's like the first line of defense, the cliche. I do this all the time, okay? But, you know, I think to put it into context, talking about his struggle, or at least this turn, we talked all last week and even the last few weeks about how their defense is that blind spot, and now it's being magnifying glass on that defense. So much so that you said the entire, anybody going up against that defense is like in the end zone if you're playing fantasy. Russ entered this week six, the bye, with 19 passing touchdowns against 3 total turnovers. Now, since then, that week six bye, he has as many touchdowns as turnovers. So something has completely flipped in the sense that I think a lot of times when you are, and I've made this comparison to the Rockets. Oh God, I don't even know why I do this to myself these days, but the idea that, okay, in order for us to compete based on what we have right now, we need to lean all the way into the offense. And even now, you know, as people are understanding that it's harder to find DK Metcalf, it's harder to find Tyler Lockett and all those situations. And I think that's why the pressure only creates more problems for the Seahawks.
Yeah, and Chiney, I think the problem is twofold. One, it's that lack of balance, like you said. When it swings so far in one direction, any team, I don't care how good you are, we saw a couple of years ago when we were talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, like Patrick Mahomes in that defense couldn't go out there and stop a nosebleed. And so all of a sudden, even that team, as great as their offense was undermined by that. And I think a similar problem can plague both groups, because when we look at the other quarterback associated with this, a lot of people coming for Lamar Jackson as of late. That big game moniker starting to follow him, even though he won a big game against the Indianapolis Colts in a game that wasn't inside a monsoon the way the game against the Patriots was on Sunday night. I feel like a lot of people are going to use these moments to try and crack the foundation around these quarterbacks. And today, I just can't buy into it yet. I think Lamar Jackson is certainly a lot younger into his career and has some areas where he's going to continue to develop as a passer. But the world around him is falling apart. The injuries that are decimating the Ravens are almost too many to list right now. And then on the other side for Seattle, Alex Collins was getting carries for them in 2020. Like, he made his way back into the league, into that backfield. That team, again, as you mentioned, defensively is so out of whack that all of a sudden you get Carson Wentz syndrome, where maybe you're trying to do a little bit too much in that situation, going from cooking to playing hero ball. So I'm sorry, I can't be the one doubting these quarterbacks yet just because the world around them has changed so much that they can't overcome all of it.
Yeah, and I think that's another example of the challenges of playing in 2020 and even the challenges of accomplishing a season in 2020 as a player, because we were so quick, you know, the first 5 or 6 games to be like, all right, Russ, this is MVP time. And now you're seeing the challenges that he's even having to shoulder even more of that now due to a lot of adjustments that normally would be, you know, possibilities or not possibilities now in this season based on personnel, you know, being in and out. Same thing with Lamar, you know, being the reigning MVP. Now you have the target on your back. And it's hard to really change that narrative, especially in a season like this season. So as much as, you know, these guys have found a little bumps in the road, there's still opportunity moving forward. But now I'm looking at Pat Mahomes like, shoot, consistency is key. That's why the Steelers are successful. Consistency, having that level of expertise out there really helps. And I guess that's where my radar is now with MVP. I'm like, okay, Pat's going to probably low-key slide into this whole thing.
Oh, Chiney.
Or Patrick, I'm sorry.
Patrick, Pat, whatever you want to call him, MVP, you're right, is probably going to be the association. Because you look at what's coming up. a primetime matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders, a game where they can avenge a loss from earlier in the season, a game on the road in the 4 o'clock window at Tampa Bay playing against the Buccaneers and Tom Brady that's going to draw a lot of attention.
Pass the baton.
You got the Broncos, but then you've got on the road against a Miami Dolphins team that's been one of the surprise teams through the first half and change of this season. So you've got a lot of those, to borrow a college term, Heisman moments on the way coming up for Patrick Mahomes, fresh off throwing like 1,000 yards in two games. So.
Yep.
It's a shame nothing ever works out for Patrick Mahomes. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. But we mentioned Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins. We mentioned Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals and the big come-from-behind last-second Hail Mary win that they had. There have been a few surprises through this point in the NFL season. Do we think any of them can actually flip the script and come out on top in their divisions? We'll tell you who next. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Some updates coming in from the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed at Chenay, at Mike Golic Jr. here on Chenay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. That Brew Dude 88 tweets in, "I'm so glad iHeart got rid of a local hour of Western Michigan so that our radio waves could be filled with Mike Golic Jr. and Chenay talking about eggnog and steak fries." Yeah, much better than listening to people talk about sports and teams that matter to me. So coming up in 10 minutes, I'll tell you how Michigan fixes what they've got going on with Jim Harbaugh. I am catering to an audience of one.
As I
sit here and definitely don't enjoy any of the pain going on at the University of Michigan whatsoever.
Go off, King.
Not at all. It's going to be a great time. My God, did they get rolled by Wisconsin. Okay. That was hard to watch.
Like, what was it, 38 points or something like that?
38 points. Four Wisconsin running backs. I shouldn't even say running backs. Four Wisconsin players each had more individual rushing yards than Michigan's entire team in that game. It is an unmitigated disaster, and yet I still don't think they should fire Jim Harbaugh unless they get rolled by Rutgers. Then you got to do whatever you got to do. But we'll get to that coming up here in just a second. Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But in the meantime, Chenay, and
you're not going to talk about how someone compared you to a russet potato, too.
Oh, you want to get – so we want to just really go all in on me in this segment. You know what, Chenay? I'm glad to put it out there. Someone did compare me to this because we were having a discussion about which cut of fry. You said you were like a steak fry or a wedge fry on here. Austin Nelson tweets in, "Junior is a russet potato. Any way you slice it, it's wonderful, has a thicker skin to deal with that Chenay slander, and has a white fluffy inside. And it goes great with secret sauce. Love the show."
We are the secret sauce of the ESPN Radio lineup. Consistent.
And I am white and fluffy. It all works.
That is true. White chocolate, too. But continue.
At Chenay, at Mike Golic Jr., if you want to weigh in on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. But Chenay, something interesting did happen this weekend is we saw this kind of tidal wave of results that would make you think a little bit. Saw a bunch of teams that have started to kind of work their way from dark horse, fringe team, to maybe contender in all of this. I look up this weekend, Chenay, and I saw the Arizona Cardinals get a major league win over the Buffalo Bills in dramatic fashion. I saw in the battle of rookie quarterbacks, the Tua Tagovailoa-led Miami Dolphins get a big-time win, 29-21 in that game. The Raiders beat the Broncos, and I say beat the Broncos, I mean beat the Broncos. And the New York football Giants get a 27-17 win over the Philadelphia Eagles in that division. And Chenay, it's fair to wonder, and our own Dan Graziano did a great job of this on ESPN.com, if any of these teams actually have a dark chance of winning their division at this point. Are any there in there that you look at and say, I'm ready to take seriously now down the stretch of this season that maybe I wasn't before?
So each team sort of has something going for them. Like if I'm thinking about a team, or at least two teams, I'm thinking about the Cardinals in one, just because it's already a competitive NFC West. And for them to be able to still survive and have some kind of momentum moving forward, granted, that Hail Mary, my goodness, was full of grace. All right. Now, yeah, thinking about like how that in execution, you literally had the one man that was perfect for that position in DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to talk about how I feel crazy about my Texans still to this day for like watching that. It's like your ex thriving. But yeah, it's tough to watch. But big picture here, this is a team that while they may not be as balanced as the Rams or so, they have a lot of momentum on one side. I also sort of think about the Dolphins while they have a deficit. I think it's about three games, right? Behind the Bills in the AFC East. This is a Dolphins team that is hot. Like, they've won five in a row. Tua's now 3-0. And I think they feel like as long as they keep this momentum going, they feel like they can compete as well. Again, this is a year where we're now up to how many? 16 teams potentially in the playoffs. If, you know, if there are some postponements or cancellations of games, you can have 16. Like, the field is open, but these two teams, based on the competitive nature, the Cardinals in their division, and also based on the momentum that, you know, the Dolphins have, I sort of look to those two and think, wow, they really are trending in the right direction to at least challenge the person up top.
It's going to be interesting. Shanahan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I look at that for the Dolphins, and you see what they've got coming up right now at the Broncos, at the Jets, home versus the Bengals, and then they get the Chiefs, and things start to get a little ugly there. But they've got a shot to keep this going down the stretch and potentially make this interesting in a division where Buffalo got a huge setback this weekend. There is no doubt on that one. So I'd go twofold. I don't know if I'm ready for the Dolphins just yet, Chiney, because when you look at a lot of the metrics, whether it's DVOA that kind of measures efficiency on each play relative to the situation or just normal offensive and defensive efficiency numbers, since Tua took over as the starter, special teams efficiency has improved. Defensive efficiency has improved. Offense is the only place where whether it's DVOA, efficiency, expected points added per play, all of those have gone down since Tua has come out. I get he hasn't thrown an interception. There's been spurts where it's looked really promising, but it's still not necessarily a lift in the way that we would always think of that. The two I'm looking at are the same two I've been looking at all along. Number one, the Arizona Cardinals. They were a dark horse team for me to begin with a lot of this. And number two, Jason Fitz, I'll give him a lot of credit. The Oakland Raiders, he called them a playoff team before anyone else was willing to on these airs. Some of that is fan-driven, but he looked at this roster and saw what most people weren't willing to in a tough AFC West division where a lot of people thought maybe the Broncos come up this year. Certainly that Chargers team before the injury to Tyrod Taylor and putting a rookie out there. Maybe they're involved in a lot of this. And the Raiders right now look like they're prime to be able to sneak in behind the Chiefs or maybe, depending on how the next matchup goes, ahead of them. But today, before we do anything else, we do have to check in with somebody very special to us, because as we have this conversation, we know it comes at the expense of someone very, very near and dear to us right now. I'm not going to play the audio of the catch. We all heard the catch. We all know what's going on in here. We don't need to revisit that, all right? DeAndre Hopkins had a really nice catch.
Thank you.
Over the Buffalo Bills.
Three of them.
Three really nice catches. And this is exactly...
No, three of the Bills were... He was surrounded by three Buffalo Bills.
It was. And so we bring in our very own Christine Lisi, SportsCenter update extraordinaire. You see her as a star on the Dan Le Batard Show and a full friend of the program here. And Christine, we're just genuinely worried. This is like a wellness check from us to you. You're the biggest Buffalo Bills fan that any of us know. So your team played well. It looked like there was a win. It just didn't work out in the end. So where are you at right now? Are you okay?
I'm okay. I texted Rob, my husband. I said, I need to come home and lay down because every TV I look at, no matter whether it's one of our networks or the NFL network, there's that play. And I need to lay down. I can't take it anymore.
Christine, how was it when you were watching the play actually in real life?
Oh, no.
I couldn't. I'm sitting there and Rob's in his office watching and the dog is kind of half sleeping in front of me. And I was like, I couldn't really yell too loud because I didn't want to upset the dog. So I was in shock. I was like, I can't believe this is happening.
See, and Christine, that's why you're a professional and as an adult, because you were able to censor yourself in that moment for the sake of your dog. When Notre Dame was playing Clemson and they got down in the fourth quarter, I yelled so loud that I scared the absolute hell out of one of our pugs, and he hasn't looked at me the same way since. So I appreciate you there. We're going to keep checking in and making sure you're okay. You're our teammate.
Glad you're
here,
good,
Christine. We care about you, and we're going to make sure you're doing all right. I also care about random followers on Twitter who want to hear about Michigan sports. It just happens to coincide with a day where Jim Harbaugh is going to be in everyone's crosshairs right now. Coming up next, we'll tell you what Michigan is supposed to do from here on out, because it's a familiar situation, and there is a game plan for this. We will get to that after this word from ButcherBox, because no one likes to go to the grocery store. It stinks. especially during the holidays. That's why there's ButcherBox. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat to choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Had a sirloin cap last night. I went off on that thing. Even had a little bit of it for lunch today. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And for a limited time, new members are going to get 6 free grass-fed, grass-finished steaks when they sign up for ButcherBox.com/CJR. That's 2 New York strips and 4 top sirloins added to your first box for free when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR. Michigan sports next.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So many tears coming right from our own control room. We got about 10 minutes, so there's a weird dynamic that happens on this show because we've got a division rivalry sitting right behind the glass in here. Our producers, Shannon and Devin, both noted New York Giants fans. Our board op, Cliff, a noted Philadelphia Eagles fan sometimes when the team is good. Chenae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenae Igwumike.
We have to classify ourselves. I am a Texas sports fan.
Chenae, you're a Texas sports fan who also roots for the LA teams and the New England Patriots sometimes.
But primarily, if I had to choose, I am a Texas sports fan. But also because I'm a professional athlete in Los Angeles, I'm a part of that family. And then I sort of jumped one or two other teams. But how about you? Where's your allegiance?
I have no professional allegiance. I root for one team and one chaos. Team only. They are the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and, yes, professional chaos. That's a great point, which at times Notre Dame can be because they represent that in a lot of the system. But coming up in about 10 minutes, the Giants fans on our staff have been petitioning for us to play the Doug Peterson audio from this morning when he did his local radio hit and was ticked off. Not in a great place. It is actually legitimately great sound, and we were legitimately going to play it, but it just kind of reminds me that the Giants fans on our staff were the ones making sure that we got to that. So we will get to Doug Peterson and the frustration starting to boil over there in Philadelphia as they get dropped by the Giants. And I don't know how we can keep looking up and counting the Giants out of the division race now. I understand they're undermanned talent-wise, but everyone else is hurt and doesn't seem to want to win this thing. So I don't know what to
do. They play hard, and that will take you places in the professional ranks. But I also do understand giving a pass on the Doug Peterson sound because he pretty much gave a pass on the media when he was talking about his friend Brett Favre. So
that is true. That is true. All of these things are relevant to the situation, so we will get to that. Chenae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. But we do have news on the world of college sports. South Carolina announced yesterday Will Muschamp, their head coach, and then we're going to part ways after what was basically 4.5 years, 5 years of kind of what we saw, them being a thorn in the side, a big upset every year, a defense that was always a little bit too banged up but super talented, before finally this past weekend against Ole Miss, too many yards given up and a decision made in that. And Chenae, while South Carolina waits to figure out who their next head coach is going to be, whether Hugh Freeze is back in the conversation, Chadwell at Coastal Carolina, that team that's done such a great job this year, it shines a light for a lot of people, I think, on what's going on at Michigan right now, as we watch them take an absolute beating in the Big House at the hands of a Wisconsin team that played in just their second game after getting back and getting started over the course of the season and still managed to go up and put in major work on that. And so it prompted this question to Jim Harbaugh about why they seem to be regressing.
As I said, I mean, every part is not, you know, close to where it should be. You know, stopping the run, stopping the pass, running the football offensively, throwing the pass in the passing game, all things thoroughly, you know, not where they need to be in terms of execution. So, as I said, starts with me, starts with our coaches, and also, you know, every person here. Understanding what we're supposed to do and then going and executing it. You know, if somebody's not executing it, then, you know, why is that? You know, are we communicating? Are we coaching it well enough? There's nothing right now to say that, you know, an acceptable job is being done right now.
Chenae, that's putting it lightly, and I think you would look at any Michigan-based message board anywhere and probably find that that's the consensus. But this is always the conundrum I've been in with this year, Chenae, is what does it take for someone to move on from a head coach in the middle of a pandemic season, right? Like, the buyout for Will Muschamp is like $15 million, something
Correct.
Like that. It's going to be steep when it comes to what happens at Michigan one way or another. So where are you at on the prospect of actually moving on from a coach, especially at a place like Michigan, in the middle of all this, even as they look completely lost?
Well, the last thing you want is a team that is not responding to any form of game plan or even just messaging or their coach. And that's what it's looking like. You're seeing a team that's not just underperforming, but it's like lower than that. I mean, they started off the season with the win versus Minnesota. Then they lost to Michigan State, who, by the way, Michigan State even has their own like versions of tough losses. Lost at Indiana, who's all right. You know, obviously upper echelon of the Big Ten. Lost by 17 to Indiana. And then Wisconsin by 38. Now, I know sometimes when you're in those situations, it piles on, but now you're wondering, are we even being are our athletes like responsive to us? And that's what I'm wondering, what's happening now? Because the last thing you want in an organization, whether it's a team or whatever the situation is not having a relationship where you tell someone what to do or you coach them and they're not doing that because they've just lost that whole connection. And it seems like there has been, you know, connection issues when it comes to Michigan.
Yeah, Chiney, that's where it becomes interesting, is what's happening in that locker room behind closed doors that we're not seeing. Because we've seen this over and over, whether it was at Stanford when you were there with Jim Harbaugh, whether it was what happened in the 49ers. I've heard him describe, this guy's a jackhammer. And after a while, everyone around, his personality is such where it's going to wear on you. And so if you're not seeing the results in places like production from the quarterback spot, as they open up that competition now, where Joe Milton was supposed to be the answer, where they haven't gotten that before, and now starting to even have some issues on that vaunted defense that we're used to seeing year in and year out for them. Our very own ESPN football analyst, Dan Orlovsky, who obviously does a great job breaking down the NFL on NFL Live every day, but also calls college games on the weekend, talks about what to do in this situation with Jim Harbaugh.
Move on? I mean, someone's got to tell me why they would keep Coach Harbaugh. Like, at the end of the day, he was brought there for a couple things, Key, to be dominant in recruiting. That's not happening. To develop an offense that was, you know, like, outstanding at the college football level. That's not happening. They got really bad quarterback play ever since he's gone there. So I'd ask this question, Key, like, someone in Big Ten country or in college football world, point to the teams in the Big Ten that you can definitively say Michigan is better right now, or that it looks like their future is better. I don't know, like Illinois maybe, Rutgers, but you can't sit here and tell me that they look better now or in the future, or better in the future than Michigan State. Absolutely not. Wisconsin, absolutely not. Northwestern, absolutely not. Ohio State, nope. Indiana. So who in the Big Ten is, like, not forget college football, who in the Big Ten can you point to and say Michigan is in a better place now and moving forward because of Jim Harbaugh? And I think there's two teams, Illinois and Rutgers.
Janae, that part I would say I probably disagree with at the end there, because Michigan is always going to have support and buy-in from boosters and alumni, resources that most of these places can't touch, and what they had last year, the benefit of more NFL talent than any of those places are going to deal with. That's part of the reason why I look at this situation and say, you're in the middle of a pandemic season, coming off a year where you gave away almost an entire NFL front seven on the offense and defensive sides of the ball, and had to swap out your quarterback right now, but you want to hand off all those problems to someone else in what's going to be one of the stranger off seasons in a while. I look at this Chiney and say he might need the come to Jesus that Les Miles got back in 2016, that offseason leading up to that year. Change or bust. He didn't, and he left. Brian Kelly after that 4-8 season where it was, hey, to do some soul searching or bust. He did, and now we've seen the results on the other side. I wonder if Jim Harbaugh will get that chance, and all of this becomes null and void if they lose to Rutgers this weekend, because then you got to do what you got to do.
Oh my gosh, at that point, yeah, sound the alarm. But yeah, I think everything you mentioned, and then on top of it, letting in a year where costs are crazy to cost you more, you know, like that's a problem. But just from my personal experience with Coach Harbaugh when we were at Stanford, this is a guy that is a jump starter, a cultural jump starter of, you know, teams. He's able to get in and really get people motivated, excited, you know, especially it works with football and his style, you know, upping your face and all that type of things. But then he stayed for a while and then moved to another spot, stayed for a while, moved to another spot. To be able to have a long landing spot, you have to understand that for the long term. And it seems like in Michigan, that process is being challenged in this moment.
Yeah, Chiney, that energy and that drive and all that kick in the you-know-what can only work when you're getting the results. But when you're 1-6 against Ohio State and Michigan State at home during this time period, and Ofer, you've got proximity to your pain in Ohio State, it becomes harder and harder to stomach those things, even if you look out and the grass might not always be greener everywhere else. We'll get into...
I wanted to say, and the last thing is, he usually comes into situations to fix that, and now he's the source of that, and that's uncharted waters.
Uncharted territory, and something that this program clearly does not look willing to tolerate. We'll get to more of that in a little bit, but coming up next, a very fired up Doug Peterson trying to figure out how to fix the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll do that next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A lot of tweets coming in right now, at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Chuck Staniford tweets in, please explain why Will Muschamp can be fired for poor performance and there's a $15 million buyout, but when regular folks get fired for poor performance over 5 years, we get walked out with our stuff in a box. I would say agents in that fee, in that area.
Yeah, agents.
Well-negotiated contracts in that spot. And Raymond Carson tweets in, what's so sad is Jim Harbaugh is so bad at Michigan, we forget how great of a coach he was at Stanford. I don't think that, Chinay. I think the issue here is he's been really good up to a certain point. It's just that that point is the most important one for Michigan fans, right? Like, he's won 10 games, 9 games, 8 games every year up until now in this one, and skewed towards double digits.
You just haven't beat the big school, and that's the problem. But yes, at least people are acknowledging, hey, he was great at Stanford, and this is what I was saying, like the jump starter, he's used to walking into situations where I believe Stanford, we were 0-11 or 1-11, and then turning that culture around, going into San Francisco, doing the same, like making them contenders, and now going to Michigan and doing the same thing, breathing life, but now he's in a situation that he has created, and now that's a problem that he probably isn't prepared for.
No, it's not something, and you can only throw so many cliches at that before people are going to tire of it. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Speaking of cliches, speaking of coach speak, we like to dissect that around these parts. We like to break it down. And Jim Harbaugh wasn't juicy enough for us today. So let's get to coach speak now for some real goods.
What some people say ain't always what they mean.
We all have a job to do. We're going to have to count on everybody to do their job.
Consider this a translation.
I think we're working at it. And we'll see where we're at on Sunday.
Coach speak with Chinay and Golic Jr.
All right, Chinay. Chinay and Golic Jr. here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Doug Peterson's not a guest on our show, the Eagles head coach, but he was a guest on Sports Radio 94 WIP, and he was big mad on this one. Listen to Doug Peterson's hit on here, and let's try and decipher what the Eagles head coach is trying to tell us.
Who do you blame the most for the Eagles' 10-point loss to the Giants? 72% coaching.
Interesting. Head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Angelo. Thanks for the lead-in. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry. That was just
that was awesome. I know. Listen, that just puts me in a great mood today. I'm already in a good mood. I appreciate it.
I kind of felt you probably wouldn't be in a good mood.
Can I hang up now?
No, please don't, Doug.
I'm feeling my obligation right now. If I hang up, I feel my obligation.
Doug, I fully understand.
I'm Angelo.
All right, what about, Doug?
I'm at myself. I'm at the way we played, and it's just it frustrates me. It frustrates me to no end. And we have too much pride, and I have too much pride. These players have too much pride. We work our off during the week. It's frustrating. It is frustrating. And blame it on me all you want. I'll handle it with the players. You can blame it on me. I'm a big guy. I can handle it. That's fine. But this is. We're self-inflicting ourselves. We are killing ourselves. We're shooting ourselves in the foot. All those cliche little, statements is still showing up, and it's frustrating.
Coach Speaks brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. Boy, they did him dirty on that.
Woo! Spicy. Woo, that was foul. That was real foul. The etiquette there was like, only your siblings, your family can do that to you.
And even then, like, you might have to have words outside. I can understand, Chinay, the frustration there with how that was presented. But even more so, getting zone-readed to death by Daniel Jones and the Giants will probably get you in that kind of mood.
But it's also like, when we're talking about cliches, they all apply. Don't kick someone while they're down. And those are your people. Or at least trying to make them your ex-people. But yeah, that was foul. And I like how he handled it. He's like, y'all, I'm here speaking English. Like, speaking words, and that is fulfill my obligation. Should I just bounce? Because I would have bounced. I personally would have bounced.
Well, but you know what? Instead, you saw the emotion from him that a lot of people probably want to see out of their head coach when this is all going on right now, because we talked about it before with Michigan. Like, what they're seeing this year is tough, but this has now been a couple of seasons where we've seen underperforming from this Eagles roster. Injury all over the place. Lack of clarity around if Carson Wentz is their guy going forward on this. And so you're seeing that frustration boil over, but unless it's matched with results, it's just going to be a clever soundbite that we get.
But I do like the thought that, hey, he was actually defending his team. Like, look, what we're doing is we're hurting ourselves, but that doesn't mean we're not trying or we're not working. And to hear that they are working, I feel like can go a long way for their fan base. I wonder if Cliff agrees.
That's probably going to be a no for them, dog.
It's a definite no for me.
So you don't care? Oh, dang. No hearts, bruh. What? No love. Love is hard to get from Cliff.
Love is hard to get from Cliff, but
it's probably a Philly thing, apparently, now.
Well,
clearly.
I was going to say, it's tough because of the standard around there. And again, there's one thing to going down and losing, but to losing to that Giants team that's down their best player in Saquon Barkley, getting run all over by a quarterback that wears very finely pressed khakis, that's going to be a tough one to swallow. Coming up next, though, we will get back to the problem going on at Michigan and how we deem necessary to solve it here on ESPN Radio.